For a new Ford, make it Bill Curry, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford for over 60 years. At Bill Curry, our prices are better than good. They're the best. Located on Dale Mabry, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium.
Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford for presenting the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Go to BillCurryFord.com. Check out the gorgeous Bronco Sport, that cherry red Ford Escape that Ira drives around. Maybe a Super Duty F-350 DRW is your speed. BillCurryFord.com. That's where you start. General Manager Sean Sullivan is ready to help you at all times. And the Bucks game is on Saturday night. This is the perfect time to spend your Saturday morning shopping for a new vehicle. Remember, Bill Curry Ford, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. 10-year roadside assistance as well. BillCurryFord.com. Yay. We are so close, hours away from the Buccaneers' first playoff game since January 2008, when Ira Kaufman himself was just a 60-year-old man. Unbelievable. Where has the time gone, Sage? This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford for the last 60 years. We're so appreciative of them. And of course, Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast. And we love the Bay Area's finest mold remediation specialists at Florida's Elite Restoration. Ira, playoff football is here. I'm jacked up. We got so much to talk about in this podcast that everyone can listen to and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, wherever. How are you, Sage?
Excited. I mean, how could you not be? We've waited, guys, 10 months for this moment at hand, 10 months going back to when Brady decided to become a Buccaneer. And then all three of us assumed that the Bucs were going to make the playoffs at minimum. And here they are. 17 weeks. To me, it's all a prelude. It's all a prelude to what's ahead. The real season's about to start. Lee, I'd be shocked. I really would. If they don't come out of the nation's capital with a victory, that's the real insurrection in the nation's capital. The Bucks going in there and taking no prisoners. You want an insurrection? There it is. 17 weeks have gone by to lead up to this moment. I think back to that playoff game against the Giants. A couple of things strike me. One, we didn't know how good the Giants were. They were a wild card team. The Bucks were a division champion. That's why the game was in Tampa. Well, the Giants beat the Bucks rather soundly, went on and won the Super Bowl and beat the undefeated Patriots. So that's number one. We didn't know how good the Giants were. Number two, we never thought that 12 years would go by without another shot at this thing. So here we are, Lee. Brady's healthy. I think that's what it's all about. Brady's healthy. He's hungry. He's got a gleam in his eye. Chase Young produced a chuckle from Gronkowski and Brady. I love that. And I think Brady's about to show the whole world once again that as good as he's been in the regular season, and he's been great, he's even better when January rolls around. I think we're going to see that Saturday night.
Yeah, I love the word you use, prelude. Right before we started recording this podcast, I read an article from Mike Tanner on Football Outsiders. And he said this game, the only way the Redskins can win this game, it's got to be a flashback to when the Bucks played the Bears in Soldier Field this year. That was arguably the low point of the season for the Bucks. Tanner said that's the only way he could see the Redskins winning is they got to be like the Bears. A ferocious pass rush and make the offense dink and dunk. I think he's got an interesting point there. But like you said, you've been saying this for weeks, Ira. Redskins offense is completely punchless. Even Alex Smith, I mean, great story, don't get me wrong, but with him being hurt, do you see them putting up 20 points? I don't.
Unless
there's a couple turnovers, I don't. So the only way I think the Bucks can lose this game is, you know, we've heard this phrase before, Bucks beating Bucks.
You got your finger exactly on the pulse, Steve. I think the path for Washington is to force some turnovers, some short fields. Steve, I don't see them going 80 yards consistently on the Bucks. I don't see it. I don't even think Washington fans feel that's a legitimate possibility. So they need some short fields. They need some takeaways. And Steve, what gives me the most confidence is, you know, Brady does not give the ball away 98% of the time. The only giveaway in the last 4 weeks was in and out of Scotty Miller's hand. It wasn't even on Brady. So, Steve, I think Washington's going to need a lot of help from the Buck offense, and I don't think they're going to get it, Steve.
Ira, you talk about the Pulse. The Pulse is at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater Saturday night. Playoff football. Now, I got to spell this out for the fans who want to have an atmosphere with other fans. At Big Storm, it's an outdoor, fully covered, 3,000-square-foot, brand-new setup to watch football and feast off their great menu and drink Florida's best craft beer. I mean, if you're looking for open air and some distancing, and but yet a unified atmosphere, a lot of fun right there. And, of course, then there's the tap room, the regular tap room indoors. It's just a great setup to watch the game. Zach is going to be doing his typical giving out tickets and halftime giveaways. I know they've got drink specials and food specials all set up for the game. Was talking to the managers over at Big Storm. So Big Storm Clearwater, 49th Street, right there in Clearwater, just south of Ulmerton Road. This is where you want to watch the game. And, of course, you can watch it at the Odessa Tap Room or just load up on Big Storm Beer for a fantastic weekend of NFL football. Ira, this comes down to just not making mistakes, because if the Bucs can play mistake-free, just, you know, no turnovers, over 60 minutes, they have so much more talent than Washington, and they've got the experience edge as well, that it just shouldn't be a difficult situation. And what I'm looking for, Ira, is a Bucs to run away with this thing, because that's going to let them keep some plays in the playbook and show less to their next opponent, whoever that might be. And you know what? Arians mentioned himself this week that, hey, you know, they rolled the Falcons so good on Sunday, they didn't have to show all their cards that they had sort of laid out for that game. And I really am looking for them to put this thing away early, get some guys some more rest, and look like a dominant team like they have the last couple of weeks.
You know, Derek Brooks on Tampa 2, the identity, he's picking 28-10. That's a blowout. Now, while I say that, and while I just heard what you said, I can see the gears going in DeKemper's mind. I can see it. Watch out, boys. This is not going to be a blowout. It's going to be a tough game. They got a tough defensive line. And, Lee, all those points are fair, but no excuses. The Bucs know what they're up against. The strength of Washington are all those former number one picks along the defensive line. And that's really the only reason to fear Washington. Alex Smith, Lee, he doesn't run anymore. He's stationary. The backup quarterback, I mean, who's this guy? They got one decent receiver. You know, they got one okay running back. That's it. That's about it. And what do the Bucs have? They got Antonio Brown coming on like gangbusters. Godwin is unbelievable. And Gronk is going to make his presence very much felt. Lee, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to toss this to you. The Kemper Brooks thinks I'm out of my mind. I made him drop his cigar when I said it, his victory cigar. He dropped it right on the table and called me an idiot. But, Lee, I'm going to throw it up to you. What prompted that response from Brooks was me saying right to Derek Brooks, I said, 55, if I'm Bruce Arians, I am benching Mike Evans. I'm benching him. You are not playing. You're out. And Brooks went crazy. He said, I'm nuts. This is a one and done. You can't take that chance. I'll take a 60% Mike Evans. Lee, he told me that Evans has been waiting 7 years for this moment. You can't do that to this kid. You can't do it. And Lee, I'm sticking to my guns. Go beat Washington without Mike Evans and try to get him a little healthier for round two. Am I crazy, DeKemper?
No, you're not crazy. Now, before I get rolling here, the nerve of you, Ira, to disrespect the Jim Brown of our era, Peyton Barber, to even suggest the Redskins will have a rushing attack. I'm appalled.
The NFC's answer to Derrick Henry. There you go.
You know, I heard you on Chris Russo's show yesterday. You talked about Brooks dropping his cigar over his reaction to your Evans comments. I'm going to take it a step further. Given the fact that Redskins are such a punchless offense, not only would I seriously consider saying, Mike, we love you, but we need you next week, I would say the same thing about Carlton Davis with his groin injury.
Wow. Wow.
Carlton, you know, we did okay with Calvin Ridley and Matt Ryan, and we're going to be okay. you get healthy. We're going to need you in Green Bay, or we're going to need you in New Orleans, whoever the Bucks play next week. We're going to need you then. We need you full strength. I would seriously consider both moves, Ira, not just Mike Evans. And it pains me to say that because, like Brooks said, and I think there's some sentimental value in what Brooks said, the guy's been waiting for years to get in a playoff game, and that'd be tough. But you know what? That playoff game will come the following weekend.
Steve, are we taking Washington too lightly? Steve, are we making a big mistake here?
Well, don't I get to weigh in on Derek Brooks calling you a moron?
Go ahead, baby.
Ira, look, okay. If you don't play Mike Evans, I'm assuming that what you're saying is to not dress him. He's inactive. You're resting. We'll see you next week. Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, here's the problem. Because if you, I get that mindset, but if you do that and Antonio Brown blows a hamstring in the first quarter and you needed Mike Evans and he was available, it becomes the worst coaching decision in the history of football. Resting a guy who's probably a Hall of Famer in his first playoff game when you didn't need to. So I think that's a problem. Now, if you suit him up and say, Mike, you're only going in for an emergency, that's a little different. But if you do that, then Evan still has to completely warm up and do all his pregame work so he's ready to play if they need him. And then if he's doing all that warm up, then he might as well get in for a few snaps. So it's really sticky, but I would have him ready to go. You just can't risk some weird injuries, which seem to happen. You know, Godwin's had his share of injuries. Maybe he falls funny and he re-breaks his finger or something. I don't know. It's too scary for me, Ira.
Would you start Evans, Steve? Start him.
No, I would dress him and tell him, Mike, we're not using you much, but you're getting in there. You'll get the start first series, and then we'll go from there.
All right. What about Carlton Davis?
I don't really know how hurt the guy is, but I'd rather sit Carlton Davis than Mike Evans.
Wow.
Okay. Well, I just think the talent disparity, and sometimes, you know, it's all about who plays better that night, not, you know, who's got the better team. We've seen a lot of playoff upsets, and at the end of the night, you say, hey, that team was a lot better than the other team, but the other team won. It happens all the time. But, Lee, you made that point. The talent disparity up and down the roster, it's substantial. Do the Bucs have a better overall defense than Washington? It's arguable. It's arguable. I think the Bucs have more playmakers on defense. But, I'll give Washington the edge up front. But, Lee, I think the Bucs offensive line is up to the task. I think they're up to the challenge. If they're not, it's going to be a problem because even if Brady doesn't make some mistakes, he's going to get hit. And I don't want Brady getting slapped around. Lee, that's a problem.
That's a good point. Let's not forget, Washington's that in a game where if they lose, they're out of the playoffs. They could not pull away from a team allegedly trying to tank. Let that sink in for a moment.
Lee, the week before, when they needed the game, they lost to Carolina. Lee, they lost to Carolina.
Yeah, I like what Peter Schrager said about the Bucs. I still believe he's a closet Bucs fan. I know those guys up north, they listen to this podcast periodically. And I'm not trying to be disparaging about Peter calling him a closet Bucs fan. I think he probably gets a chuckle out of it. But he said, this game isn't about Washington's front line getting after Brady. This is about Alex Smith worrying about JPP and Shaq. And I think it's a valid point. You know, we're worried about Brady and the Redskins' pass rush. What about Alex Smith, who you pointed out, Ira, is all of a sudden a stationary quarterback because of his leg injury. How about him against JPP and Shaq?
That's an excellent point by Schrager. I think JPP's been laying in the woods. That's just my opinion. I'm not saying he's dogging it, but I think he's got another gear to go, and I think he's going to unleash it Saturday night. And I think instead of talking about Chase Young, I think we're going to end up talking about JPP and Shaq Barrett. I think they're going to make it a miserable night for whoever's under center for Washington. And I think they're going to steal the thunder from this supposed furious pass rush of the Washington team. I think JPP is going to have a big night, Stevie.
Ira, you willing to throw a wager there? I'm going to throw my money on Shaq Barrett having a bigger night, and for two reasons. One, he's playing for the money. He had a good year. He didn't have a 19 sack year, but he had a good year. Guys with 9 sacks and certainly guys with 28 and a half sacks over 2 years get paid. But he knows that if he plays well in the playoffs, it means a lot more money. Plus, he just got a week 17 game off, so he's got to be going wild. He wasn't even hurt. I think Shaq is going to have a huge night. You know, the Bucks are going to be blitzing like animals. And if they can get a lead, we've seen in multiple games this year what the Buccaneers' fourth quarter pass rush looks like when they can just let it loose. So I'm going with Shaq for 2.5 sacks, and JPP is going to be behind him. How do you like that, Sage?
Well, Steve, I don't think Buck fans mind. I don't care who takes the spotlight, as long as somebody does. Now, Steve, we got to add this, that in terms of blitzing, Lee, they're going to miss Devin White. I mean, they're going to miss him in terms of blitzing. There's no question about it. I mean, the guy came one game short of double digits and probably would have got it had he played against that statue called Matt Ryan last week. Lee, I don't care if it's JPP or Shaq Barrett or Antoine Winfield that deposits Alex Smith on his keister. I think your point is, talking with Schrager, I think it's right. I think the Buck pass rush will be more effective than Washington's pass rush. And I can't wait for Mr. Young or Mr. Sweat to go up against the guy that I put down on my All-Pro ballot, rookie Tristan Wirfs. And Lee, I am not used to putting rookies on an All-Pro ballot. That doesn't happen very often. Lee, the only time it happens is when you're picking the rookie offensive player of the year and the rookie defensive player of the year. Okay, that's fine. You got two categories for that. But, to call Tristan Wirfs the best right tackle in football, some people think that's a stretch. But I did it, and I stand behind it.
Sage, what? When you talk about pass rush, Ira, that pass rush, it makes me think of how Florida's elite restoration just goes all out when they blitz and attack mold and get it out of your home. They are the Bay Area's number one disaster relief specialists, licensed mold remediation specialists. Can't mess around with mold. You see water when you come home after a trip where it doesn't belong. New Year's resolution is to clean out the house, and you get into some closets and you realize you got mold under carpets and in the back of something. You got to call them immediately. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. And it's all free, an appraisal of what's going on in your house, so you don't get ripped off by your insurance company. You know what's actually happening. And we can't say enough about them. Florida's Elite Restoration.com.
Steve, you're absolutely right. Florida's Elite Restoration. They are the masters. They can sack mold and put it down. And as you mentioned, get an assessment. Don't waste any time. Call them before you call your insurance company. And all you want is you want a sense of where you stand here. Is it a minor problem? Is it a big issue that's got to be taken care of immediately? They will give you a free assessment, and it will be an honest assessment. Don't wait on mold. Sack it. And you do that with Florida's Elite Restoration.
Lee, Ira, let me go this way first, just to sort of take a little bit of a break before we get back to the Bucks. Ira, Lee, do you think there's any chance that Chicago can upset the Saints? And same thing, Rams going in to Seattle.
I mean, I sure hope so, but I don't see how the Bears beat the Saints. Not in New Orleans. Maybe it was in Chicago because Breeze is a different cat when he's on the grass in the cold weather. But in New Orleans, I don't see it. I mean, sure hope so, but unless Breeze completely melts down, it's hard to imagine.
And this is not a real reason, but I mean, if you're looking to, hey, why would you pick Chicago to upset New Orleans? And it'd be a major upset. It's that the Saints seem to be snake bit in January. I mean, it's 3 years running. I mean, what else can happen to this team? But that's not a real reason. I mean, you're talking about Trubisky against Drew Brees, and I think the Saints defense is the unheralded part of that team and special teams. Sean Payton's done a fabulous job. You got nothing out of Michael Thomas. Brees has been out. The guy wins no matter who's under center. Payton's strong, man. I mean, the guy is very sharp, and they draft well. It's a strong organization. They've been a better team than the Bucks this season. With Tom Brady, the Saints have been better. What can you say? They ended up with a better record, and they swept the Bucks. And we're not even going to talk about that second, you know, in Tampa. There's no reason to pick Chicago, the Rams and Seattle. Lee, I think one of the unheralded things, I think I mentioned it to the Mad Dog the other day, is Seattle's defense, Lee, for whatever reason, they've really come a long way. I mean, they were terrible the first half of the year. I mean,
Pete Carroll's a hell of a defensive coach.
Yeah, they were historically bad the first half of the year. I mean, I think they were giving up 30 points a game. I mean, it was horrible. For whatever reason, you know, like you said, with Carroll, you know, let's straighten these things out. Let's address these issues. And they're playing pretty good defense. And, of course, they got Wilson, two stud receivers, decent running attack. Seattle's very dangerous right now. So if the Bucs get past Washington, Lee, which they should, whether they go, you know, go, if they have to go to New Orleans, Seattle, or Green Bay, that's a tall order. The Bucs will not be favored, Lee, in either of those three games. They will not be favored.
No, they shouldn't. And I don't know if this is a good segue, but I know we should touch upon this. Good Morning Football. They just flashed that LSU just hired Panthers quarterback coach. I didn't catch the name. That leads me into saying, well, now there's rumors that the Marshall plan. I thought I had – I'm so hacked off myself. I thought I had, quote-unquote, the Marshall plan worked into my story. I was reading it this morning like, how did I drop the ball? Anyway, the Marshall plan is to hire Leftwich. And Leftwich, I just can't picture Leftwich being head of any organization. We asked him, is this a job you would entertain? He just laughed, and he gave a denial.
You're right, Lee. He did not say he wasn't interested. He did not.
No, he did not. And, of course, we know, you know, Bowles confirmed it, that he's interviewing with Falcons next week. Is it possible within a matter of days Arians is going to have to hire two new coordinators?
Well, I think it's possible, I don't know within a matter of days, but I think it's possible that the 2021 Buccaneers will feature two new coordinators. You know, look, it happens, Steve. You know, if the Marshall opening and they're interested in Leftwich, and he might be interested. Steve, you never know. He might be interested. If it happens, the Bucs will move on. They will get some, the offensive coordinator would have to, you know, be Brady would have some input, Steve, as he always does, and the Bucs will move on. They will march on. Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I don't think Bowles will necessarily get a head coaching job. I'm happy that he's being interviewed. Hey, that's life in the NFL, Steve. You churn the bottom of your roster. Sometimes you got to churn your coordinators.
I'll throw it out there, Ira, that I think if Leftwich exited for a college job, that the Bucs wouldn't hire a new offensive coordinator. The guy with the easiest job in America right now is Clyde Christensen. What does this guy really do? I don't understand that. So I think they would move Christensen into the job, and just Arians would take back play calling, and Tom would have a heavier hand in everything because he's here for a second year. So I think that would be very seamless. And on the defensive side, I really believe that Arians has been extremely over the top in his praise and his love of Raheem Morris. And I think if Bowles left, if Raheem did not get a job, and given how Raheem blitzed the hell out of the Bucs a few weeks ago and had success, and Arians is a blitz happy kind of guy, and that's his order, you know, that's his defensive philosophy. I think he and Raheem also coached 3-4 defense up in Washington. When he left the Bucs, he went up there to learn the 3-4 from, I believe, I don't want to get the name wrong. So, yeah, I don't know. I think I would peg Raheem as a dark horse to be Arians' next defensive coordinator if Bowles left, which I don't think anybody will hire Bowles, though.
I don't think Bowles is leaving. If he did, it would be an attractive job for Morris if he doesn't get a head coaching job. And I hope he does, Lee, but I'm not betting money that he will. And I think that's not a bad fallback position for Raheem.
Yeah, it'd be a nice one for Raheem. I thought, I'm not as talented as Steve is at this. I'm always kind of looking for what's bubbling beneath the surface. Steve is excellent at this, a lot better than I ever will be. I always thought one of the ways Light lured Arians out of retirement was that it was basically a setup, and I don't mean that in a negative term. It was a setup for Arians to get one of his coordinators a head coaching job after he left, which, you know, the guy's 68. How much, you know, is he going to be here after Brady? I don't know. So I always thought that, whether it had been Leftwich, whether it was Bowles, or that was Armstrong, I always suspected that part of the reason he came back was like, okay, if you want me, that means you got to hire one of my coordinators as my successor when I leave, because I'm not going to be here long. That theory's kind of been blown out of the water with A, Bowles interviewing with Atlanta, and B, Leftwich doing anything but denying the rumors about him and Marshall. Because if that was the case, that Bowles or Leftwich was the successor in waiting, coach in waiting, why would those guys even, you know, for example, why would Bowles interview? If he's got the job already, what are you wasting your time for?
I think you're half right, Lee. I think you're half right. The part I think you're right on is that it was very much in Arian's mind that he's gonna take this job only if he can get these two guys as his coordinators and get them in a high profile position to at least compete for head coaching jobs. Where I think you're wrong is it may not necessarily be as a successor in Tampa Bay. I don't think that was part of the deal. I'm not sure the Glazers would agree to something like that, tying their hands 2 years down the road. So, Lee, I think you make a point about that was part of why Arians came back out of retirement, is to push the profiles of Leftwich and Bowles, no question about it. But I stopped short at saying there was an agreement with the Glazers, Steve. I don't think that happened.
Yeah, I always felt, you know, I know we had talked about this, you know, when Arians was hired. I always felt that it was just too far down the road for the Glazers to make any kind of wink-wink commitment, essentially deciding in advance who might be coaching them 5-6 years down the road on a second contract as part of a bigger regime. So I just don't think they would do it from the ownership standpoint. I think they'd say, Bruce, we'll give these guys, if you win here, we will give your guys every opportunity. We've proven that we've hired black head coaches right before, and you know, we will embrace everything you do if you win here. So, you know, I always thought maybe Arians talked to them about moving into the front office when he left. And of course, that would mean hiring his own coach if that were the case. But, you know, we've got playoffs to talk about. Ira, I got a funny one for you guys. Arians was on his radio show this week, and he talked about how Antonio Brown is just one of these incredible players who his catch to tuck and run is seamless and some of the fastest and the smoothest you'll ever see. And Arians, when he was talking about that, very closely in that conversation, he sort of joked that Rojo might be catching the ball better now with a cast on his left hand than he did before. Which I thought was really kind of funny. But, you know, I would recommend to all Bucks fans and you guys, if you haven't seen it yet, on YouTube, Antonio Brown was mic'd up by the Buccaneers.
Seen that.
And what makes it unique is not what Brown has to say, although there's one nugget in there that I thought is interesting, but the video is very, very close up on Brown. And if you really watch him catch the ball and tuck it and go, I mean, it's unbelievable. The guy's really a video game, Ira.
Well, you know, Lee, at this point, and I think we take pride on this podcast, among all the things we take pride in is we're honest. We're honest. And Lee, I'm going to be the first to say it, and you might back me up. I was wrong. I was wrong. I didn't like the Antonio Brown acquisition. I didn't think it was necessary. But Lee, just think about it. If Brown wasn't here and you got Mike Evans with the hyperextended knee, even if he plays, he's not going to be 100%. There would be heightened concern, Lee, if Antonio Brown wasn't on this roster right now, playing the way he is, and they're opening up the playbook for Antonio Brown, as they should. And Lee, he hasn't pouted. Those first couple of months when he wasn't getting a lot of footballs, he didn't wreck the locker room. So, Lee, in that respect, I got to say, Brady, I tip my hat to you, Thomas. You made a good decision. You pressed Arians. You pressed Light. Bring this guy in. He can help us. And, Lee, a couple of months later, it looks like Brady was right and I was wrong.
Well, I think we all expected Antonio Brown to do Antonio Brown stuff off the field. So far, you know, clock's ticking. So far, that hasn't happened, albeit we don't know the exact timing of, well, yeah, we do, the bike throwing incident. So far, he hasn't gone completely nuts. I'm not real willing to say that, you know, with Evans' hyperextended knee, that the Bucs would be gloom and doom. Tyler Johnson, I think, was the guy that was really coming along, although I'm not impressed with his hands quite yet. He's had a few drops, but he was coming along, I thought, getting open. Brady was targeting him. I thought he was coming along when the Bucs signed Antonio Brown, and he's kind of been on the back shelf for a while. Although I think Atlanta game, he had a catch or two. But I don't, you know, of course, Godwin would have stepped up. But, I mean, I see your point, Ira, about Evans, but I don't think it would have been total doom and gloom. The biggest doom and gloom without Evans, as far as Godwin goes, he tends to get nicked up. You know, last year, he didn't finish the year. He had a hamstring pull. That would be my only main concern with Godwin stepping up, so to speak, is he kind of gets nicked up a little too much. But, you know, Godwin's a great receiver, and I think the Bucs would have been okay without Brown. But Brown just makes him otherworldly as far as, you know, an embarrassment of riches in the past.
Steve, speaking of Godwin, we see him week after week, how tough this guy is. He doesn't drop any balls. No. He makes contested catches. Steve, when you look at it, you know, and of course we're looking into an offseason where the Bucs have to make a decision about Godwin. Steve, he's one of the great draft picks in Buck history. I mean, you got to say it flatly. What a pick. You got to give Light some credit on this one, Steve.
He's just a tremendous player, an all-around player. He's played through injuries. He had a tremendous amount of success this year. If you look at the numbers and how much he had, you know, the time that he missed, you know, they're going to have to open the vault for him. I would be really surprised if he's willing to take anything less than what these other, you know, top receivers have gotten, like the Keenan Allens and the Amari Coopers. And, you know, he's right in that ballpark for sure. He might be even better.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, why would he not demand the $20 million a year that those guys got? So it's going to be very interesting for the Bucs on that front. Ira, you know what? I'm going to play the high and mighty high horse card. You know, it still makes me a little sick that Antonio Brown is on the roster. It was a smart football move, absolutely. But I don't think the Bucs would have been in bad shape or in you know, in some sort of really lesser state. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who think the Bucs would be best off running a lot of two tight end sets. And Gronkowski and Brate, if you talk to him, he was talking on the Buccaneers programming a few weeks ago. He says he's playing his best football of his career. And I think they would have been just fine, especially with all the extra reps that Miller and Johnson would have gotten. They're not Antonio Brown, but I think they would have been okay. But, you know, if Antonio Brown loses his rape suit next year, his civil suit, and we have to look back on a Bucs Super Bowl and, oh, you know, the Antonio Brown caught the winning touchdown and now he's a rapist, you know, I don't know. I don't like it, but that's just me.
Well, I understand that, Steve. But what cannot be denied, gentlemen, it cannot be denied. Talking about whether to go to a two tight end lineman or what you can't cover up is what they've done in the last 150 minutes of football. The last 10 quarters has been extraordinary. It's absolutely extraordinary. It's unprecedented in Tampa, and I think almost unprecedented in the last 20 years of the NFL. I mean, it reminds me of the 07 Patriots, which happened to be led by Tom Brady. Lee, the last 10 quarters with Antonio Brown playing a more enhanced role, this team's been unstoppable. Unstoppable.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Ira. You probably know these guys. Michael Holly and Michael Smith, they both used to be at the Boston Globe.
Yes.
And they've got one of these hollering shows that's on Peacock. And they were talking about Brady. And obviously they know Brady very well because they covered Brady. And, you know, they're watching Brady from afar. You know, obviously Brady's not in Boston anymore. And they're like, uh-oh, we've seen this before. Like Michael Smith said, he goes, I've read this script before. Brady peaking right when the playoffs begin. But and Holly made the very interesting point. What is impressing him about Brady more than anything, he said Brady was not known as a deep ball passer. All of a sudden, he's clicking on the deep ball at 43. And both these guys were saying, look out, NFC. Look out. We've seen this before. Be careful.
How are you going to keep all these guys happy? Steve, all the questions are being answered right now. Now, as it's a long podcast, and I think we got to take 1 minute on this. 1 minute, and I'm going to, with all excuses to Buck Nation. Steve, we got to think of the other side. What if they lose this game? What if they lose this game? They're eliminated. They finish 11-6, season over. Big upset by Washington. And I don't care how it's done, Steve. I don't care how it's, whether they self-destruct, whether the Buck defense falls apart. I don't care. Steve, what if it happens? We don't think it will, but what if it does? How much of a body blow is this to Buck Nation should that happen?
You know what, Ira? I reject your notion. I don't have to think about it. Don't tell me what to think. They're not going to lose, and I'm not answering the question. How about that?
Classic Isbits, Lee. Classic. Classic. He's not going there, Lee. He's not going there. I'm just throwing it out, Lee. I mean, there's always a possibility that they lose this game. It's a possibility, Lee.
Hey, 6 weeks ago, we were hoping they'd be in this position. So, you know, I'm counting my blessings.
I guess what I'm saying, Lee, is we all know what the expectations were. And for a lot of Buck fans, it was Super Bowl or bust once Brady came aboard. I mean, let's be honest. That's the mindset. That was the mindset.
There'd be disappointment, but I don't understand what your, you know, end game is here. What I mean by that is, are people supposed to throw themselves into traffic on Dale Mabry? I mean, yeah, it'd be disappointment. Are you suggesting that the Brady experiments failed and there should be house cleaning at one buck? I know what you're saying. There'll be disappointment, but. Yeah, so what? That's the NFL playoffs.
All right, I got an answer for you. I decided I'm going to answer the question. If they lose, it's all Jason Light's fault. Get him out of here. No, I'm just kidding.
I guess the way I would put it, Steve, is what a significant number of Buck fans say at that point, the Brady experiment was a failure, terrible failure.
I don't know how anybody can say that.
Okay.
It depends how they lose. If he goes out,
disappointment, of course. Failure, no way.
If he goes out and throws four picks, yeah, a lot of people are going to say that, and it would be hard to argue with them. But I mean, if it's because Ronald Jones fumbles at the goal line and a couple of busted special teams plays, and who knows what, and they lose 25-24, you know, that's different. But I can't even think about it, Ira. Shame
on
you.
I can't even use the word failure. To me, failure means you should have taken a different route, meaning you should have never signed Brady. Bucks aren't in the playoffs without Brady. I mean, disappointment, of course. Everybody will be disappointed, but I don't know how you could say this was a bust, this was a failure, should never happen. They should have. By the way, aren't we glad Arians didn't get Teddy Bridgewater? Has he had a mediocre season at best? Mediocre?
I'm going to stay on the high road, Steve. I'm with you. I'm staying on the high road, baby.
Thank you, Ira. We got you back on the road. And, of course, that means you're driving your 2020 Ford Escape Cherry Red from Bill Curry Ford. Total luxury you got there in that Ford Escape, Ira. And, of course, BillCurryFord.com is where we heard before. That's where you start shopping. You know, when you're thinking about a lease, you want to get into a truck, you're looking for a good used vehicle with a nationwide lifetime warranty, you go to BillCurryFord.com, and right there is where you can find Sean Sullivan, the general manager. His email, shoot him an email. Ask him a question like he's your friend. Tell him you love the Bucks, you love Ira, you're going to get a discount, or you can just pop into the showroom a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, hopefully nowhere near where Lee has people running into traffic, and you can check it out, and they'll even, if you want a test drive from home, call them up. They'll bring it out to you, you know, total distancing if you want to stay away from everybody, but you still want to shop for a car and or a truck and really, you know, test drive and all that. They can make it happen, bring it right out to you. So BillCurryFord.com. Ira, look, we got this game here, and these are exciting times. beyond belief. And I don't want to discount, I just want to clarify. I mean, Antonio Brown's incredible. The guy's peaking right now. He's hot as hell. He's catching balls that aren't even thrown to him. That thing was clearly going to Scotty Miller, in my opinion. And he's on fire at just the right time. And it wouldn't surprise me if they, you know, throw him four screen passes Saturday night and he's catching short balls over the middle and taking off and going absolutely wild. And I'll be clapping right there along. It's a great setup for the team. But here's the thing, Ira. I still, when I look at some of the negatives here, they're still 1-5 against good football teams. And they have had some struggles against tough defenses and pass rushes. And, you know, they have a little bit to prove in this game, Ira, in my opinion.
No question about it, Steve. But what gives me the confidence, and I think I speak for a lot of Buck fans, is, you know, the growth in a certain extent of Brady with this offense, tailoring this offense more and more to what Tom Brady prefers. That has been a process that has gone on all season, and it's peaking. It's absolutely peaking. They've got everybody involved. Gronkowski is going to come on strong. We know his postseason resume, Lee. He raises his game. And he's been playing much better the second half of the year. Godwin's Godwin. He's going to show up at FedEx Field. Brown's peaking. And, you know, I know Steve's point, Lee. You know, the Bucs still have much to prove going forward. But these last 10 quarters, I don't care if it's the Falcons. I don't care if it's the Lions. I don't care if it's Chamberlain High School, Lee. This offense is very scary right now. I think Ronald Jones is going to have a big game Saturday night. Good luck, Washington defense. You pride yourself. You got all these number ones. I think you're going to have a lot of trouble controlling this Buck offense. And I think the Bucks enter the playoffs, Lee, in about as good a shape as anybody could imagine.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ira. They really have. And I was just thinking about this. You know, people that are deriding the Bucks about, you know, their record against good teams. Well, I seem to recall the Jets, who's everybody's fire hydrant, every dog's fire hydrant. Did they not beat the Rams? The Rams are in the playoffs. I mean, we can go on and on, you know, about record against winning games or getting tripped up against bad teams. And I was just thinking, and we tend to think, because we're right in the middle of it, the Bucs haven't been in the playoffs in 13 years. So we kind of think that. Like, the whole team is Lavonnie David and Mike Evans haven't been, Will Golston. But the more I think of it, the Bucs ought to have more playoff experience than the Redskins, off the top of my head. I mean, Brady and Ndamukong Suh, Shaq Barrett has playoff experience. JPP, of course, has playoff experience. Ryan Jensen, Antonio Brown, Gronk. The Bucs have a lot of playoff experience, so I think they know the proverbial have to turn it up a notch. So playoffs shouldn't be a major surprise to most of these guys.
Sage, Rondé Barber was talking on the Buccaneers Radio Network this week. I thought it was very interesting. He put a very, very, very strong emphasis on the fact that it's on the coaches to have these players ready for the playoffs and to understand, you know, how everything gets heightened and to be, you know, prepared. And it's all about preparation in the playoffs and coaching. He really took it away from the players in a way that I think Derek Brooks wouldn't have. What do you make of that?
Well, I don't know if I necessarily agree. They're all coached up at this point after 17 weeks, 16 games. I don't think there's much that Joe Gilbert can tell his offensive line. And Keith Armstrong better be talking to his special teams, because they've been a little bit up and down. I'm a little concerned about that in terms of, you know, the return units and the coverage units. They've had their moments. But I think it's up to the players at this point. By the way, guys, we're deep into this podcast, and we need a little shout-out, just a little one, to John Lynch and Rondé Barber. We need a shout out. Congratulations, gentlemen. You are on the final 15 for consideration of the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2021. Your fate will be decided in a couple of weeks. But Lee, I think we have to acknowledge that having $2 on that list of 15, that's pretty good accomplishment for this franchise.
Extraordinary. You got a lot of work to do, Ira.
Yeah, we hit that last podcast. If anybody wants to listen, Ira just went on an energized tirade when I called him that night to stick that into the podcast. So you can find the podcast, of course, at Joe Bucks Fan, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. So fun listen there, Ira, in full excitement. And I wanted to throw one question at you guys before we get to the picks and get out of here. And a quick reminder, get out to Big Storm Beer in Clearwater, Big Storm Brewing Company, the tap room. Fun watch times on Saturday night, open air and indoors as well. Great time. Sage, who is your biggest surprise Buccaneer from the 2020 season? Now, we still got the playoffs, but your biggest surprise in a positive way. I guess it could be negative too, but your biggest surprise this season.
Well, as great as Brady's been, I kind of half expected him to have a big season, so I can't go there. I'm going to go with Tristan Wirfs, Lee. I don't see any way around it. You know, you figured the kid's going to be good, but he's going to struggle a little. You know, OTAs, preseason, it's been one of those crazy years. Makes it even tougher for a rookie to make this kind of an impact. I got to go with Tristan Wirfs. He's taken every snap, Lee, every single snap. He's been on the field. One sack allowed, three penalties. He's a stud. He's already outstanding. He's got his whole future ahead of him. What a draft pick. Lee, I got to go with Tristan Wirfs.
Not a bad choice. Although, like you said, you know, being a first-round pick, you figured he would be good. No one expected, I don't think, him to be this dominant. So that's a good pick. I will go with Ronald Jones, who I had zero faith in entering the season. And arguably, he's one of the top, eight backs in the league. To me, that's a big jump going from, I'll never forget that. I understand fantasy football, fantasies are, like I always say, my fantasies have nothing to do with football. So it's fantasy football, and so it's made up, it's make-believe. It's wishful thinking. It's hope. There was some fantasy football guy this summer who had the top 40 running backs. Ronald Jones is not listed. Maurice Jones-Drew, he had a ranking from 1 to 32. NFL team's number one running backs. Ronald Jones at number 32. I expected nothing from Ronald Jones. I think it's fair to say he's a top 8 running back. That, to me, is the biggest surprise. And a very pleasant surprise, and I'm happy to see it for him. You know, I'm happy I people think when I criticize players, I have an axe to grind with them, that it's a personal attack. It's not. The only thing I have for or against players, and I'm repetitive about this, is production. Production, production, production. I want to hear talk. I want to hear leadership. I don't want to hear none of this nonsense. When you're on the field, either produce or get off the field. And this year, Ronald Jones produced, and I was happy for him, and I was happy for the Bucs. And in my eyes, the biggest surprise was Ronald Jones.
Good pick, Lee. Good pick. What do you got, Stevie?
Well, Sage, I was thinking about this the other day at length and going back, and Ronald Jones was going to be my number two, and I think I probably would have – I was a little higher on him than Lee was, but I figured he'd just be an average – running back who couldn't catch the ball. And I think I would have chosen him if he had somehow added, being a dangerous pass catcher to the mix, but he still really couldn't catch. So I didn't go there. And I went with Ndamukong Suh, because I really thought Suh, who just turned 34 the other day, I really thought he'd drop off a little bit. And then when Vita Vea went down, I didn't think Suh would really be able to step up in the way the Bucs might have needed him to. And, sure enough, Ira played every game. The guy finished with 6 sacks. His quarterback hits were up. His tackles for loss were up. The loss of Vea didn't matter. The Bucs were number one in run defense in every possible category. And I really got to hand it to the guy because I just didn't think it would be there. And in my mind, Ira, we're looking at a Hall of Famer. We're watching a Hall of Famer, a guy who's now going to the playoffs with his fourth football team. I don't know. I'm going with him.
Well, Steve, I got to say, you know, the guy grows on you. The more you watch him, he's still quite a competitor. He still takes a tremendous amount of pride in what he's doing. Lee, you can't say the guy is a non-factor on the pass rush. He's okay for an interior lineman. I'd say better than average. He's tremendous against the run. He's a good leader. He says all the right things. Lee, you know, he's building a resume that at least, you know, you got to put him in the conversation for Canton. I'm not saying he's going to get a bust, but you can't dismiss him out of hand, Lee. Watching him up close for the 2 years, what a player. What a player, Lee.
For Bucks fans looking into the future, the best thing you could probably say right now about Ndamukong Suh is he's in Aaron Rodgers' head.
Great
I
point.
I like that.
Great point,
I like
Lee,
that.
Right there. All right, let's get to this ball game, Ira. What do you want this order of picks to be, Ira?
I'll go last, gentlemen.
All right, fire it up, Lee.
28-15 Bucks.
Is that five field goals to Kemper? 28-15. All right.
I just don't see the Redskins barring a bunch of turnovers. I don't see them scoring 20 points.
I've been
saying it for weeks, Iron. You're right. That offense of theirs is punches. And by the way, real quick, it's on JoeBucksFan.com. Earlier this week, Mike Tannenbaum had some very interesting stats. And basically, when the Redskins play from behind, they are terrible, as Charles Barkley would say.
Steve, Lee's got the Bucks covering the spread. What do you got, Steve?
Yeah, I'm going Bucks 30-13, Ira. I just don't think there's enough from the Washington to mount much of an assault here. I hope the Bucks get up 14-6 at halftime and then put the darn thing away.
And I'll go 23-10. You know, one Buck turnover that helps Washington score its only touchdown, and they had a cheap field goal. 23-10. The Bucks are a much better team, guys. You know, even with Washington's, vaunted front four, I think that's going to be neutralized. And other than that, Washington doesn't have very much. And they proved it. You know, they're a 7-9 football team. The Bucks move on. Lambeau, New Orleans, Seattle. Who knows?
All right, Bucks fans, I'm hoping that we are not having a horrible emergency upset Bucks lose podcast next. That would just be a freaking disaster. And then we can address all of Ira's incessant negativity that he injected into this podcast for 45 seconds earlier today. I'm teasing Ira. Hopefully we can, boys, we can get together on Sunday for something short to talk about what's next and this fantastic game, and kick off week two of the Buccaneers playoff run. That would be something.
And, you know, Steve, maybe there could be an upset in one of the other two NFC playoff games. And who knows? You know, the Bucs could end up playing a playoff game in Tampa. Crazier things have happened, gentlemen.